Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I'm Rochelle Danae Poth. I am excited today because I do have another guest joining me, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. And so if you are listening for the first time, I hope that you will go back and listen to prior episodes and also continue to listen. And if you've been listening, thank you for joining in again today. So just an introduction of my guest, and then I'm going to ask him to give us a little bit more details, but I would like to welcome Sean Fagan to the podcast. And Sean is the Senior Vice President of Product at Lightspeed. So first, welcome to you, Sean.
Thank you. Happy to join today. I look forward to talking.
I'm happy to have somebody to talk to on my podcast, because so often I joke that it was a podcast that was just me sharing ideas with myself. So it's always nice to have a guest to learn from, especially with, you know, new insights and things that are happening in education. So speaking of education and the world that we are working in, both you and I, before we dive into our topic today and focus on Lightspeed, let us know a little bit about you and your background and your experience and what brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, no. So I've been actually at Lightspeed for, I think, over 20 years. So I've been here for a bit and just had an opportunity to learn about the K-12 space, to grow into a, you know, as a kind of a product management type of role, and to really start to understand how can we make an impact into K-12. So, you know, my role today as a senior VP of product is really places me in the middle of, you know, kind of product management and engineering or product development function. So that means, you know, anything from gathering customer requirements about, you know, new types of products, new opportunities for us to solve some unique products in the marketplace, all the way through development and design of the products, and then getting out into the marketplace and ensuring success through supporting our sales team with resources and things like that. So it puts me very, very solidly around product, which I love, and we love to look for new ways to explore and help provide a meaningful impact into the K-12 space for sure.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I mean, it has been an exciting time for a really long time in education, just with all the new technologies and the things that we have access to. I mean, as a classroom teacher, but also as somebody who is super fascinated by ed tech, like I love to keep learning about what's out there and the benefits for educators. But I have to say that in listening to the work that you do, it sounds quite intense. And so I'm curious for you on a day-to-day basis, like, with your role that you have, what is a typical day-to-day kind of look like for you?
Yeah, you know, my role and my position is largely, I try my best to support the team and keep them focused, keep them sane, and try to, you know, help them solve problems as they go. A big part of my role, though, is trying to stay out in front, trying to figure out, okay, well, what's next? Where can we turn our attention? What are some new problems that might be emerging out there? And what are some ways for us to explore how we can potentially help with that? So I try to stay a little bit ahead while at the same time, day to day, just kind of digging in, supporting the team, you know, whether it's helping them develop some materials at time, helping them think through some technical challenges, or, you know, help being counselor from time to time as we're busy in development cycles.
Yeah. So the counselor, like, it reminds me, just, you know, in education too, we talk about, you're not just teaching. I mean, there are so many things. You might have a defined role, but there's all of these other things that we get involved in, because that's just part of it. You don't necessarily know that when you get started. You're like, but wait a minute, I'm this, but I have to do all these other things. And so you're right. There are, you know, the aspects of, you know, a counselor and just being supportive to all of the people that you work with. And so, you know, I'm familiar with Lightspeed. I don't know that everybody is, but could you share a little bit about the background? I know that you, like you said, you've been with the company for more than 20 years. And so what is Lightspeed and how do you work with schools and districts?
Yeah, no, great question. So Lightspeed has actually been around since 1990. So we've been around for quite a while. You know, especially for a technology company, we've been really focused in serving K-12 since about 1996. Recently, within the last about 2 years, we have become a 100% employee-owned company, and very mission-driven company. Really, we're on a mission to ensure that, you know, every child hears every word, to put it one way. But it's even more than that. You know, we care and can't help ourselves sometime to care so deeply about education. and we're constantly looking for new ways where we can make a positive impact to improve learning, to improve instruction, and even improve safety through our communication solutions. So we're trying to explore more and more ways, you know, to make that impact. Until we veer very far away from that, you know, we kind of lose our passion. So we've learned that over the years that K-12 is our space, and you know, that's where we want to be.
To, you know, you said the 1900s has been around for a long time, and I always joke, you know, we think that things are so new, and then you realize, wow, it's been around for so long. And I say, yeah, I've been here since the last century or since the 1900s. And sometimes it just takes a while for that tech to get out into like the educator space, especially in K-12 with so many other things going on. And you did mention instructional audio, and I'm familiar with it. I wasn't always. There are a lot of things that I didn't know for a long time. And so, you know, if somebody's listening and they say, oh, yeah, I heard, you know, instructional audio, and what is it? And can you talk about, you know, why that matters?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things. There is a little bit of nuance to it. And there is a little bit of us educating what it is and why it's needed. But, you know, very, very simply, I would say instructional audio it's a low volume. Highly intelligible. See, that's a hard word even to say. Audio system for classrooms that ensure every student can clearly hear the teacher's voice. So, in a nutshell, it's not meant to be a loud amplification making that teacher louder. It's all about clarity in the classroom. And so, a basic system includes a wireless pendant style microphone. It just hangs around that teacher's neck, and as the teacher speaks, that wireless microphone transmits to a speaker system in the classroom. There's multiple types depending on your scenario, but those speakers evenly distribute that sound so that everybody, whether in the far corner or in the front row, has equal access to that teacher's voice. The clarity of that audio, it overcomes some of these barriers that kids actually have to listening that many aren't aware that even exist. So there's acoustics and physics challenges, you know, overcoming distance, right? Kids at the back of the room are not going to be able to hear the teacher as loudly or as clearly as those in the front, right? That makes sense. Directionality matters, right? If the teacher is standing, speaking directly at you, it's going to have greater volume, greater clarity than if the teacher is turning, writing on a whiteboard or something like that. So directionality matters in terms of how clear is that voice coming through. There's also background noise and acoustic challenges. You know, there's hallway noise, there's buzzing from technology, there's fans going off, there's road noise. All of these things are starting to mask the clarity of what the teacher is saying. So why does that matter? Well, that matters especially in a school or a K-12 environment, because younger listeners, as they're still developing all of their language skills, still acquiring all that language and all that knowledge, they actually need to hear between 90 and 100% of the spoken word to truly get comprehension. Adults, we can miss some parts of speech, and because of our knowledge, because of our experience, we can put context around, maybe fill in the blanks. Kids can't do that. So they have to hear every part of that spoken word. And with all of those barriers that I existed, it's simply not possible to get to that 90 to 100% without a solution like instructional audio to help build up that teacher's voice and gain that clarity. One more stat that I would just throw out there about that is that the younger elementary, like the grades K-3 in particular, at any given time, and this one always surprises me, but at any given time, 30% of those students, almost a third of your students, have some type of mild to moderate hearing loss. A lot of it is temporary stuff like a cold or an ear infection. Maybe there's a developmental piece in their ear canal that is resolved with time. But in that moment, a third of your kids have some barrier to listening. If not addressed, those kids start to experience academic deficiency by grade 6. So the challenge is we don't know who those kids are at any given time. You can't just take those 5 kids and put them in the front row. You have to find a way to address all those kids to ensure everybody has kind of that clear access.
Yeah, and I know, like even in my own classroom, just that's something I've become more conscious of. And even at conferences, like when I speak, often I'm wearing a device so everybody can hear in the room, and it makes such a difference. But in my classroom, even I have a hard time sometimes hearing students from the back of the room, but I know that they can't necessarily hear me because there's buzzing of the lights or there's noise in the hall, and I try to move around the room so that I'm, near some of the students, but at any given point, even if you're intentional about doing that, you're still away from somebody that's going to not hear you. And I have to say, I'm shocked at the statistics that you shared too, because especially as early learners, because they need, and I tell my students in classes all the time, the one they'll say, "Why do you keep repeating that?" And I said, "Because to actually learn something, you need this repetition, and there's a certain number of times that you need to hear it. And if you're not hearing it, because sometimes they don't understand like why it's important for them to also listen when I'm asking somebody else a question, but sometimes they don't necessarily hear me either. And having that ability where it doesn't matter where I stand, that sound is coming through, and everybody can hear it. And the fact for the young learners, when if they're missing out on hearing it, that impact, like you mentioned, I mean, that's huge to focus on. And so that is super important. And I know that that's it's a challenge, especially classroom acoustics, of course, like I'm mentioning some of the things. And I notice, and I've tried to stay away from where those sounds come. And at certain points of the day, some of those sounds go away. But you work with a lot of schools and teachers, and you hear some of these concerns. So what are some of the, I guess, most common challenges that educators face when it comes to like the quality of sound or any of the sound effects that might be happening in their classrooms?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, so much of it is the classroom being a dynamic space, right? The teacher isn't simply standing in one space up at the front, standing, deliver. That teacher is active. She's moving all over the classroom. She's facing different directions, right? And the level of audio and that signal of audio is going to change based on who you're facing, how loud you're talking, where you are positioned within the classroom. And so to come up with a solution that evens that out and ultimately provides equity to every corner of the classroom, that's really what this type of technology delivers to the classroom is ensuring front corner, back corner, middle, it doesn't matter. That sound is going to come through very much the same. And in many cases, we talk about a lower volume system not designed to make that teacher loud. In many cases, it brings down the overall volume level in the classroom because the teacher can speak quietly and still have that even distribution. So it almost de-stresses the classroom on some level. The teacher doesn't have to stand and project so much anymore. So you have this calm, kind of consistent audio with great clarity everywhere in the room.
Yeah, and the projection piece, I know, especially at the start of the school year, I always lose my voice after like the first 2 or 3 days. And it's not, my room isn't large, so I can just imagine some educators that teach in a large, like a science teacher that has like the front of the space, and they have like a lab set up in the back of the room, and maybe they have students working in different spaces. The fact that you have to project your voice, it does wear on you after a while. So having that, like you mentioned, where it's just like it's a consistent, the teachers don't have to increase the sound of their voice, and it's kind of all the same. I think that's awesome. And I know that a lot of teachers probably struggle with that in their classrooms, just trying to figure out where's the best place to stand. I do have to admit though, that I was one of those teachers that for many years I did just stand in the front of the classroom in the middle because I figured that that was the best place. But I'm sure that the student that was right in front of me in the middle probably didn't feel that way all the time because I was projecting directly at them. But now I've tried to move around more. But having solutions like this really do make it easier for teachers to, there's a lot of things they have to keep in mind in their daily work if students are, paying attention, if they can hear and all the hear the directions and instructions. So, thinking about that, like what are some of the things that Lightspeed is doing? As you see maybe changes happening in the classroom or different needs being addressed, or maybe you're speaking with schools and with teachers and they're expressing concerns, how is Lightspeed adapting, in response to that?
Yeah, this is in a number of different ways, and this is an area where I explore all the time. We try hard to really become almost students of K-12 and are always looking at you know, exactly what you're talking about, trends in whether it's learning or you know, instructional trends or technology trends, and you know, how can we adapt or how can we even come up with new solutions to help solve some of those emerging challenges. So a number of different things we've done, you know, over the last several years. One area we've worked really hard in is addressing challenges associated with small group instruction, right? Where kids are in their independent small groups. The teacher is now no longer just standing and delivering, no longer that sage on the stage. The teacher really becomes a facilitator, and new challenges emerge in that the teacher really needs to know what is going on in all of those groups at any given time. Very, very difficult. And what's not necessarily needed is that ability for the teacher to talk to the whole class. That would be distracting if she's just trying to talk to one group. So we have a solution that includes a small little, we call it a little two-way audio pod that sits on the desk of an individual, you know, small group. And that teacher is able to, if she needs to, address that group, just talk to that group without disrupting the others. But even more importantly, it allows the teacher to listen in to any one of those groups at any given time, regardless of where that teacher is. So, you know, most impactfully, that teacher from away from that group can listen in. The group doesn't necessarily know that teacher is listening in. She can gain really authentic insights into what's going on in that conversation. Who's participating? Who's getting it? Who's not? Are they stuck on something, or are they, you know, really having a highly productive conversation? And it gives teachers those insights that allow he or her to make the decision. Do I interject? Do I reinforce? Do I redirect? Or do I really just let them go because they're rolling? And so many times teachers are finding not that they're having to redirect or correct or discipline. It's they're catching their students shining. That's a phrase we heard one of our teachers say is, I'm able to catch my students in these shining moments. And they're having conversations at levels we never knew before. So this is a very exciting solution for us that we've had the market for a while, but that is a way for us to step beyond just this whole class model and really adapt to a small group instruction. Addition to that, you know, more recently we have done some things through the pandemic to adapt to things like hybrid learning. Right. Some of the challenges emerging with that is all around audio in many ways is how do you get good audio to those students at home? How do you ensure there's still good audio to the students in the classroom? You got to make sure that they can both hear the instructor, but they also need to be able to hear each other. So we made some interesting adaptations to our solutions through that period of time. And, it, you know, they're still available now, even if it's not as common of a use case that allows, you know, the students, no matter where they are at home or in the classroom, to communicate really, really well with one another. So we look at things like that. Learning is not just in the classroom. It expands beyond those four walls of the classroom space. And maybe it's in a pod out in the hallway. Maybe it's in the gymnasium, certainly. Maybe it's even outdoors. And so we have a solution we came out with that's our mobile PA. It's effectively a portable sound system. Right. And it's designed for larger spaces, open spaces, even outdoor areas, again, to provide a lot more volume, a lot higher level of sound to project that over larger spaces when you need it. So looking to make sure no matter where you are in the building, we still have good audio clarity. And then lastly, I would say, you know, today as we are where we sit and looking forward, you know, we're exploring more and more ways to integrate with other building communication tools, things that aid in building safety and security, as well as just better communication both inside and outside the classroom. And so we continue to explore where can we integrate and where can we make impact, you know, throughout your whole building communication system.
Yeah, now I have to think back because there are a couple of things that you said that really resonated with me. And I think, well, the first one, because I mentioned standing in the front of the classroom, you know, for years I taught with the desks lined up in rows. And I noticed, you know, some of these things that we're talking about, like the kids in the back, you know, either they couldn't hear what I was saying, or in some cases, you know, they had a question, they were embarrassed, they didn't want to ask the question, or if they were working with their partners, you know, sometimes they were off task and I didn't notice that. But then when I did make a shift to using stations in my room, I got a lot of steps in because I was kind of circling around trying to pick up bits and, bits and pieces of the conversations. But having something like this, where, like you said, you know, you can listen in and you hear and you see the learning happening, but also above that too, like you see the kids working together and there's all these other benefits that come with it, but being able to hear it and be in all of those different places kind of at the same time and work with the students, like it really does make a big difference. And so I love, you know, when technology helps, especially also, as you mentioned, with the hybrid, that was a huge struggle for me because I was trying to hook up. It was a mess. If you would have seen all the different ways I had to set up, I had the desktop computer that did not have a webcam or microphone. So I had my podcasting microphone. Then I had a laptop and I had to use a document camera for the camera. So the kids could actually, it took me about a month and a half till we could all kind of hear each other. And that day was a fantastic day. So knowing that there's a solution out there that educators can use that solves that challenge is awesome. I just wish that I would have known about it back then, but that's okay because, you know, we are constantly learning about new ideas and that's why we're talking here today. So I love that there's all of these different solutions and the thing that you said too about, you know, learning does not just happen within the classroom space, like learning is happening everywhere. And so having solutions that help us to enhance those and facilitate learning. I love that you said facilitator of learning as well. Great points to make. And so I love stories. I'm always telling stories. I'm interested in people's stories. And so with the work that you've done, you know, do you have any examples or stories of a school that you worked with or a district where, you know, they started to use Lightspeed and then the feedback that you got, like the changes or what their impressions were of it or the impact that you can share?
Yeah, I have a few of them. I don't get as many opportunities to be as directly involved as I used to, but certainly have had a few awesome experiences. The first I'll share is really more of a way of how we get in and listen to our customers and learn from our customers, because I think that's just at the heart of you know, education is learning and learning from each other, learning how to solve problems. And it goes back to we were working with the school district. We were working on getting a pilot started and, you know, putting our systems in several of their classrooms. It turns out it was in a, you know, sort of lower income and like a high ELL type of population. So that's an area where our system with this great speech clarity can really help to address. And we sat down, we met with the principal. Her response was great though. And she said, I think that's wonderful. But we don't teach that way. And, you know, it was confusing and surprising for us at the time because we had always envisioned our system as, you know, this is going to be perfect for any type of instructional situation. We can adapt to different types of rooms. And that's where she started taking us through her classrooms and started showing us. And this was great learning for us because what we found and what we noticed was almost the entire time their classrooms are in these small differentiated groups. And they did it out of need because they spoke so many different languages, had kids on so many different levels of learning. They couldn't just throw them all together in one big group. They had to kind of differentiate. And the challenges they faced were different than just, I need to make sure my voice is clearly heard by all those students. That teacher needed to understand what was going on in those small groups. You need to be able to address each group individually. And this was the beginning and kind of the nexus of our current Activate small group instruction system. Is we learned about that. We learned more and more about the impacts that this type of instruction, any type of small group instruction can have, and how much of a trend there is to, we got to get these kids in their small interactive groups so that they can be in front of the learning, creating the learning themselves. And so we took it upon ourselves that we want to find ways to solve some of those new challenges. So that was a cool experience, right? To get in, to learn from that experience and then, you know, teach ourselves something and start to serve that.
Yeah. I love hearing, you know, when you get to see it happen and then like, you're not necessarily sure how it's going to go, but then the after, like the, wow. Like that really made a difference. And then that's a story that you can share with others who may not be sure, like, you know, how can I use this in my classroom? Like, is it going to make a difference? And then that's what I think is so valuable is when you can see like, this is the impact that it had. Like, technology, we know technology is great, but at the end of the day, like, what's the purpose? Is it going to enhance? Is it going to transform? Is it going to provide opportunities or access to learning, you know, experiences that otherwise students can't have? That is always, you know, no matter what you talk to me about when it comes to technology, I'm always excited to learn about it. But in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking like, okay, why, you know, why would I use this? And so having stories like that, and I'm sure that was a great experience for you as well.
Yeah, I got that. And, you know, a couple other things that I have to share as well. You know, so much of our benefits designed around student learning, right? And ensuring that students are fully engaged with the teacher, they can clearly hear the teacher, and you see all of these upticks in, you know, in on task time and participation and things. But there's some other really tangible benefits to our system too that you know, tend to be really important. And there's a couple fun stories. Is, you know, I had the opportunity several years ago to be at a conference, and I had a teacher come up to me, and the teacher was holding a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, she had basically written out that, "I'm sorry, I can't talk. I have lost my voice, and I am looking for ways to help me continue to be a teacher." And she was convinced, concerned, if not convinced at that time, that she wasn't going to be able to teach anymore. And she asked if we could help her. And so I happened to have a system just that was set up right there. So I just handed her my microphone, and, you know, she was able to just barely whisper, but as she whispered and could immediately hear her amplified whispers voice coming through, I'm not kidding you, she started tearing up, and all she could say was, "I think you just saved my career." And that one still gives me goosebumps today. Turns out that, you know, the teacher did get a system, her school purchased it for her. It did allow her to continue teaching as she started to recover, and then got to fully recover, and, you know, obviously still uses it today. But that was a huge piece, because it helps the teachers so much too. And you mentioned vocal problems; it's so common. So that was a fun one. Another one was my first opportunity to experience this. We had just added a system to the classroom; the teacher just began using it. And one of the other benefits of our system is you can pass around a microphone to the kids so that they can pick it up, talk into that microphone, and, you know, share with their students. So now their students can clearly hear them. So the teacher, the first time, handed this microphone, and it seemed like she clearly picked the shyest, the softest spoken little girl in the classroom to use it. So she handed that girl, she unmuted the microphone, and she just started speaking. And you could just see immediately she could hear her own voice, and you see this smile creep across her face, and almost you could almost see her shoulders stand up a little bit, because for the first time she realized, my peers can hear me, and I don't have to be embarrassed. I can just speak normally and they can hear what I have to say. And it gave her a voice. And that was a powerful thing as well. So many stories. These are just two, and, you know, probably thousands of stories we have every day. But it's a pretty impactful piece of technology.
Yeah, those are powerful stories, because, I mean, educators can all relate to just losing the voice and how frustrating that is. And it's like, you feel like you can't do anything. And especially if it's something that could be like a longer term condition, to think like, I love what I'm doing, but I can't do it right now. And I know, like I said before, I teach Spanish, and so it's hard to, you know, not have a voice when you're teaching a different language, because they need to repeat and listen. And so having something like that, and then just that impact on that educator, you know, and of course for the students to be able to still have their teacher, and then for that student, and I love how they sat up straighter, because then it helps them to build comfort and confidence in the classroom. And that's important too. Some students are hesitant to speak, or, you know, when they have their voice, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm good now, you know, and then the next time it's like, they have more confidence. So I love hearing all of the stories that you shared with us. Anything else that you would like to add for people to know about Lightspeed that we didn't cover? Do you want to make sure, like, hey, you have to check this out? Because I will drop a lot of links to all of the different things on your site. You have all the different products that you've shared. You have some customer stories and things on there too, and all your social links. But anything else that you would like to let people know?
Yeah, no, that's great. Beyond obviously the links that you'll share and just checking out our website, you know, one of the best source of more information is really our local representatives. You know, Lightspeed, you know, we'll sell to resellers and distributors and things like that, but we really are a direct to customer organization. So we do have our own local team of representatives all around the country, and they are not only experts in, you know, instructional audio, how it can best help our customers and their needs, but also local. They understand the regional needs. They can meet with you, consult directly about how to solve your unique challenges, opportunities, and ultimately help make that recommendation to meet your technology, your facility, and your instructional needs. So it's a great opportunity to sit down with someone who can, you know, really, really understand and help directly.
You know, I noticed a theme kind of resonate throughout our discussion here today, and it's all about the support. It just, from the start, from you, when you and I spoke, how about you supporting? And then throughout, it just seems like that is a big focus, and it sounds super important for Lightspeed to just support anybody and everybody, educators, students, the people that you work with, the districts. We're all in it together. And so that's just something that came to mind. So
well said. Well said. That's how we feel, right? That's we are in it because we believe in it, and we want to do anything we can to help.
Yeah. Well, I have enjoyed learning from you today. And like I said, I'll be sure to drop in all the different links. I've pulled all the social media links. So people want to check you out on Twitter and LinkedIn and all the places, and just get some information as well about the different products that you have. I'll make sure that that's all available for everybody who has joined in and is listening. And Sean, thank you so much for joining me today. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much as well.
All right, everybody, I appreciate you listening to the Thrive in EDU podcast. If you are not subscribed, please subscribe and also sign up for my newsletter. And that's it. We will catch you in the next episode.